أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ أخذنا ميثاقكم لا تسفكون دماءكم ولا تخرجون أنفسكم من دياركم ثم أقررتم وأنتم تشهدون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد, we're up to ayah number 84 in our dars, and the previous ayah Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned overall some of the most essential basic tenets of the covenant taken with Bani Israel. لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى. You're not going to worship anyone other than Allah. You're going to be the best you can possibly be to your parents and to close relatives, and when you'll speak, and those who are not able to help themselves, والمساكين. وقولوا للناس حسنا. You're going to speak to people in the most beautiful fashion. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Then he established upon them the obligation of establishing the prayer and giving the zakah. Then he mentioned ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. Then you turned away. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْكُمْ. Except for very few of you. Now if you notice, these obligations that were just mentioned, they have to do with either you and Allah, or you and your immediate community. Very immediate community. First your family, then your close relatives, then the poor in your community. So it's taking care of the, you can say, the micro responsibilities. And you know what happens if you don't take care of your micro responsibilities? You start falling short on bigger responsibilities. You start, there's cracks start appearing in the bigger picture. So when you talk about an ummah being corrupted, and people fighting and killing, even Muslims fighting and killing each other, those are big problems, but they start from small things. So now Allah mentions these fundamentals, but now look at what they led to in the next ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ, like we took the, and when we took the covenant from you, لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ, you are not going to shed your blood. You're not going to spill your own blood. Now what does that mean? لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ, you're not going to kill each other. A Muslim will not be killing another Muslim. And I'm using the word Muslim because these people were the Muslims of that time. So they're being told, you're not going to kill each other. Now the interesting thing is, you know, لَا تَسْفِكُونَ الدِّمَاءَ بَيْنَ أَنفُسِكُمْ. You're, among each other, you will not shed blood. That's something else. But Allah said, دِمَاءَكُمْ, your blood. You know what that implies? When you shed the blood of another believer, it is the same as your own blood. That is your blood. You know, so He says, دِمَاءَكُمْ. It's a very powerful statement. It's like killing yourself when you're killing another believer. وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. And you will not expel your own selves from your homes. Literally, that's what Allah says. You will not expel your own selves from your homes. Now that doesn't mean you're going to kick yourself out of the house. What does that mean? You're not going to force other believers out of their properties. Expel them, deport them, you know, kick them out. And I use the word deport on purpose because there are several situations in the Muslim world today where Muslims are deporting other Muslims to other countries for nationalistic reasons. Because of borders that were defined not by us but by disbelievers, we are now willing to take others who say La ilaha illallah and say, you don't belong in this country, you go over there. Right? We're literally fulfilling the crimes of Bani Israel. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells them, لَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Not, you will not kill each other, and you will not be expelling each other from your homes. And then he says, ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ. Then you agreed, all of you. وَأَنتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. While you were all witness. You all bore witness and actually wholeheartedly agreed to this covenant. Now look at the next ayah. ثُمَّ أَنتُم هَؤُلَاء. This is, you know, صِغَةُ التَّعَجُّبُ. ثُمَّ أَنتُم هَؤُلَاء. You are these people. You are the very same. تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You're the ones that are killing yourselves. You were the ones who, after hearing all of this, still engaged in the crime of killing each other. You showed no mercy to each other. You know, nowadays, subhanAllah, we are horrified, the Ummah is horrified at the advent of several military expeditions that are happening all over the Muslim world by non-Muslim forces and the United Nations and other things, right? And we have threats from, you know, other elements. But when these threats were not there, you don't have to look hundreds of years back. You can look 10 years back, 15, 20, 30 years back. You'll find, you know, conflicts taking place, Muslims among Muslims, for years on end. And each calling the other a kafir, each saying they're not from us. You know, kill them and destroy them and whatever. The conflict within the Muslims got so ugly, and the only thing that undermined that conflict is the fact that now others are attacking us. And others are, you know, wreaking havoc within the ummah. So, but before that, we weren't showing much mercy to each other either. And look at the kinds of crimes that are happening in the Muslim world. Subhanallah, it's a very small glimpse. And I, wallahi, I tell you, even in our communities here, You know, the only thing that keeps us a lot of times safe from each other is the rule of law that's established by non-Muslims. But, you know, other than that, the animosity sometimes between Muslims will go to the furthest extent of the law available here. Lawsuits, you know, even in our time, amazing lawsuits between masajid. It's crazy, but it's happening. You know, and the stories I know, I don't want to share because it's depressing. We just got out of Ramadan, let's stay in a good mood, right? So وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ. Now Allah says, look what He says, وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. And you would expel a particular group from among you from their homes. Now He does say fariq. Fariq means from farq, a group that is separated. So you would first of all identify a group that is somehow different from you. But Allah makes sure you know minkum, they're still from you. They're not from anyone else. You know, He doesn't say fariqan min dunikum. You made a distinction of them, but that doesn't change the fact that they're still from you. Fariqan minkum min diyarihim, from their homes. Tadhaharuna alayhim bil ithmi wal udwan. You would, you know, invade over them. You would overshadow them with intent of sin and animosity. Bil ithmi wal udwan. وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارًا. Now the thing is, you know, you've taken over these people, you've expelled them from their homes, these are also believers, you've oppressed them. Now that you've oppressed them, now they come to you as prisoners. إِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارًا. In other words, they got expelled, they got taken as prisoner by non-Muslims. So now Muslims that you were fighting, you used to hate them 2 weeks ago, but now they are prisoners of war under non-Muslims. So they're coming to you as prisoners. تُفَادُوهُمْ. You would have fundraisers and say, hey, free your Muslim brother from the oppression of the kuffar. And not too long ago, you were ready to kill them yourself. In other words, when the outsider came, all of a sudden your unity came back. When the outsider was gone, you were ready to kill each other. You know? And so this is not very far from our own situation in the ummah today. And this is the history of the Israelites. And Allah says, what hypocrisy is this? You become one ummah when the outsider comes? And when the outsider leaves, you're ready to kill each other? When they come to you as prisoners of war, as you know, captives, then you give fidya to faduhum, you want to give fidya to free them? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ. Do you believe in some parts of the book and disbelieve in the other parts? This is a very famous part of the ayah. You probably heard this part of the ayah many, many times. But the wisdom of Allah, Allah put this inside this ayah. In other words, we're learning something very powerful. There's the same qa'idah, the same principle. The principle is the ummah is one and we have to protect each other. That's the principle. The life and the dignity and the home of a believer is safe from the other believer. That's the principle. Whether that, you know, that home or that life or that dignity is under attack from a non-Muslim or from a Muslim, the principle doesn't change. But for these people, it would change, right? In one setting, when it meets their agenda, then they're willing to forget all about that. No, these guys are kuffar. They're not really Muslim. That's why they're murtadeen, they're munafiq, they're this or that. So we can do whatever we want with them. But when it fits our agenda, we can come and, no, we need these people. We can come back and be one with them, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla says this selective interpretation, right? And he doesn't call it, you know, تختارون. He says تؤمنون وتكفرون. You believe in it and disbelieve in it. Now they didn't disbelieve in any ayat. You know what they did? Selective application, right? When it applies, we'll take it. When it doesn't fit our agenda, we'll leave it. Allah calls this the same as believing and disbelieving. How serious is this matter? And so in this regard, I won't extend the speech, but I'll tell you just a very small thing, just food for thought for all of us and myself to think about. When we become more and more knowledgeable of the book, this entire discussion began, you know, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You tell people to do good, you forget about yourselves. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. And you're the ones who read the book. That's what Allah told the Israelites, right? Now, here's the thing. When you and I become more and more knowledgeable, it becomes easier and easier and easier for you and me to justify our misdeeds using religion. We can give dalil for everything. No matter what you're doing, you can say, no, you don't understand the fiqh of this matter. It's okay, what I'm doing is okay. You find some way using your knowledge to justify your misbehavior. In other words, instead of using the religion to become a better person, now you're using the knowledge of this beautiful deen as a crutch to become a worse person. And justifying the deen. So you know what that makes it? It doesn't make you look ugly. You know what that makes look ugly? The deen itself. You, instead of you becoming a caller to the deen, now you become a means by which people are disgusted by the religion. Look at these people. They use the religion to justify these acts, you know? So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What would be the payback of someone who does that among you? selective application, belief and disbelief in some parts of the book and not others. What should be the payback of such a person? إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Except humiliation in worldly life. When the ummah goes through humiliation in worldly life, we have to think back, how do we get to deserve this? How does this happen to an ummah? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, this is payback for something you've done. You took the book selectively. إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. But that's not even the worst part. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the day of standing, the day of resurrection, يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. They will be returned to the worst of punishment. Now, sometimes Allah says, great punishment, painful punishment. عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. These are descriptions used. But look at this ayah. What does he say? إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. The most severe form of punishment. He used أَفْضَلُ التَّفْضِيلِ here. The worst punishment possible. Allah is describing this for someone who claims to be a believer. And he's not even disbelieving in all of the book, he's just being selective. This is Allah's punishment, Allah's fatwa on this person. May Allah protect us from being criminals like this. Right? So, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ شَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is not unaware at all in regards to what you continue to do. What you are up to, Allah is not unaware at all. You know, and there's a very powerful statement. You know why? Because people, when they misbehave, the one thing that's not on their mind is Allah is watching. That's not on their mind. If that was on their mind, they would take a step back. It would be easy to turn around, look the other way, hold your tongue. All of those things would become easy if you and I become conscious that Allah is aware of what is happening. So Allah makes sure you and I understand this crime happens because of ghafla. So He said, ghafla of Allah's knowledge. So Allah says, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not ghafil. Allah is not heedless, unaware of what you are up to. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us people of taqwa and not allow us to fall into the footsteps of those who failed before us. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.